Alan Shipton, goodbye.
Thank you very much, Alan.
The Winter Olympics on the BBC.
I am the maddening Riddler, the mist that clouds your brain. I am the one who plagues your sleep. Nature is my name. The time is now upon us. The nerves begin to fray. Could it be, just maybe, I'll let you have your day.
Nature, who will conquer it? The Winter Olympics start on Friday across the BBC.
This is BBC Radio 3. Now it's just coming up to 6 o'clock and time for Jazz Lineup, presented this week by Claire Martin.
Hello and welcome to the show. Tonight's concert music is part two of a magnificent performance by the extraordinary Carla Bley and her trio, recorded at the Wigmore Hall as part of the 2013 London Jazz Festival. The concert features specially commissioned music for the festival and tantalising music like this, penned for none other than the country legend Johnny Cash. Carla Bley, Steve Swallow and Andy Shepherd with a taster of The Lord is Listening to You, Hallelujah. And more from that concert set later on the show. Also on the programme, an interview with guitar giant Pat Metheny, who celebrates the release of his brand new album, Kin.
Well, there's kind of a subtext to the whole record on a compositional level that sort of emerged that I didn't resist, which is probably, must be about 85% of the record is in some form of six.
Pat Metheny, and more from that interview later on the show. Well, first, something new on the Motima label. World-class Cuban percussionist and bandleader Pedrito Martinez with his group, who have their roots planted firmly in the Afro-Cuban rumba tradition. Check out their version of Led Zeppelin's Traveling Riverside Blues, which originally was inspired by a tune by legendary Delta Blues guitarist Robert Johnson.
Nobody's like you, baby.
Pedrito Martinez Group, who have been described by John Scofield as one of the greatest groups playing today. And that was their version of Travelling Riverside Blues, with the vocalist Ariadne Trujillo giving her all on that. Multi-Grammy winning and ever-changing artist guitarist Pat Metheny was in the UK recently, and Jazz Lineup's own Julian Joseph caught up with him to talk about his new release with his new group, The Unity Band. It's the first time in more than 30 years that he's featured a tenor saxophone in the front line, and the group are Chris Potter on sax, David Williams on bass, and Antonio Sanchez on drums. The new album with this lineup, entitled Kin, is out this week on the Nonesuch label. Before we hear the interview with Pat and Julian, let's hear a track from the album. This is KQU. Thank you.
KQU from Pat Metheny, and I'm very, very happy to say that Pat Metheny joins me on Jazz Lineup. And Pat, what a pleasure it is to have you here. Thank you for being here.
Great to be here with you, Julian.
I just want to say the album is absolutely remarkable.
Oh, well, thank you.
And KQU, that's the one track I think that retains the old group, I say in inverted commas, the band, where it's a pure quartet. And let's just talk a little bit about KQU. First of all, what does KQU mean?
Titles are a problem for me. I really struggle with that. Mm. And in this case, that was the only easy title on the record because I have a 4-year-old daughter at home. And like everybody, probably you too, I use Sibelius all the time, a program for writing music. And my daughter Maya is always coming in while I'm working on it and starting to type, you know, type things. And it's like, no, wait a minute, don't do that. And somehow she'd come in and I stopped her just as she had somehow gotten to the title thing. And she typed in KQU, right. Q. Right. And that remained there. That was before we recorded it. So it was always, I was like, okay, well, that's as good as number 73 or whatever I had there. And, you know, I thought it's just kind of a nice title.
So reading about the album, it's as you very succinctly describe black and white to sort of Technicolor IMAX. Just tell us a little bit about what turning the band into the group has meant for you. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we did that record, the Unity Band record, which was, you know, kind of a, in itself, you know, me looking across this range of things that I've done over these 40 years, and there was exactly one record that was like a horn player plus rhythm section,
right.
Which just seemed bizarre to me, since that's an environment that I have played in so much with other people and, you know, sort of certainly grew up playing that way. You know, I kind of had been spending so much of my time and energy developing other contexts and, you know, all the million other things that I've done, that sort of classic thing had maybe been a little bit underrepresented. And also maybe I was waiting for Chris Potter to show up, you know? I mean, I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, and I followed Chris very closely from the beginning when he showed up playing with Red Rodney, and he was this 16, 17-year-old, just fire-breathing bebop dude and killing it every step of the way. But I remember, you know, having heard Dave Holland's band lots of times. There was one night in particular, walking out, having heard them, where I just thought, okay, now Chris has sort of transcended to something else. Mm. It's more than just saxophone playing now. It's like he was, you know, manipulating the, you know, color of the wallpaper.
Sure.
He was doing all this other stuff now. And that really inspired me. And Chris had all the way along had been, whenever I'd see him, he'd mention how much he wanted to do something someday. So it seemed to come together. We did the record. But that's when it kind of got interesting. We did a tour, and we did about 110, 120 sets of music over that year. And that band as a band developed that community thing that you don't always get. And as a band leader, I always kind of pay attention to what's happening off the bandstand as well as on the bandstand. And it just happened to be like a really great combination of people. We all had a lot of fun together. Everybody was real relaxed and everybody was just cool. And it, you know, the gigs went on and on and on. And usually by the time you do 110 gigs, near the end, you're kind of like, okay, 8, 9, you know, so many to go. It was kind of the opposite in this. It was like, God, you know, we're getting close to the end. We were all like sad it was ending.
Sure.
And it was sort of like almost unspoken. We should try to do this again.
Now, when I'm listening to the music, I can hear there's a lot of shaping, a lot of work, a lot of attention to detail has gone into the music. And it must be actually a real bonus to not only have found a band, a group that gelled so well, as you mentioned, with Ben Williams on the bass, with Antonio Sanchez on the drums, as well as Chris Potter and yourself, and now Julio. So you can build on top of that. So at the core, you've got exactly what you want.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea. Sort of like, you know, I wanted to fully preserve this thing of what that band had become as this sort of, you know, hardcore slamming quartet thing. And what seemed interesting to me is like, okay, what about the orchestrion, this whole world that, you know, I'd sort of, you know, kind of gotten into in these last few years. Why can't that be a component in this? And sure. Then there's this whole electronic thing using synths and sequencers and all that stuff. That's been part and parcel of my life for 30-some years now. Sure. I've never been even a tiny bit reluctant to invoke that universe in many projects. Why can't that coexist with all this as well? And you know, all of this added up to a very interesting palette, you know, but like you say, with this core thing being what it is.
Well, we're going to go into another piece now, a piece called Rise Up. And one of the things that I identified about that is that it's not particularly, I wouldn't describe it as a flamenco piece, but I feel like it's flamenco driven. Just tell us a little bit about how you put that together.
Well, there's kind of a subtext to the whole record on a compositional level that sort of emerged that I didn't resist, which is probably, must be about 85% of the record is in some form of six.
Sure.
It's a lot of threes and sixes.
Yeah.
And yet they're kind of deployed in, you know, lots of different ways. And that kind of thing in terms of strumming, strumming itself being, you know, kind of an area of, you know, deployment of the guitar that had really not been explored much at all, you know, prior to 80, 81.
Sure.
You know, that was the first time, you know, that I really tried to reconcile that kind of sitting around the campfire thing with Jack DeJohnette.
Sure.
You know, could these things be, you know, compatible?
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a sort of continuation of that approach, and yet the 6/8-ness of it, that kind of harmonic rhythm, certainly has a connection to that general part of the musical spectrum. And also just utilizing rhythm guitar that way was something I didn't do at all on the first record. It seemed like a good destination to get to.
Well, this is from the new record by Pat Metheny's Unity Group, and this is called Rise Up. Rise Up from my very, very special guest, Pat Metheny, from his new album, Kin, with his Unity Group. Well, there's a sustained energy through the music. There's a lot of variety, but there are these vignettes where you play Genealogy, quite a short piece, 38 seconds. There's also a tender ballad that goes for just over 2 minutes, and it's called Adagia. And it's an intimate short ballad, and these almost feel like introductions and interludes. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, you know, I think it's also, you know, like you go to a great restaurant or something and they're doing these amazing dishes, and then sort of in between courses they'll bring out like the broccoli sherbet that's like, you know, like one little taste of something that then sort of sets you up for what's coming next and sort of resolves what just happened. I mean, you know, I think that when you're putting together a program, whether it's live or a record or whatever, you know, you're trying to find balance and you're trying to have some kind of sense of narrative exposition. You know, I mean, I'm still kind of chronologically of that age that I do think of the record as sort of a continuous single narrative statement, you know.
Sure.
I mean, it's, you know, in the world of tracks now,
yeah.
I'm not quite sure that there are people that perceive it that same way, but in a way I don't worry too much about that, because I feel like the basic idea of taking an hour or hour 10 minutes or whatever it is to tell a story, whether it's still a novel or, you know, a longer piece of music or whatever, that's sort of where I live. I mean, sure. That's the way I hear things. So yeah, I'm always thinking in that sense of how is the program going to unfold over time.
Well, we're going to go out with a piece called We Go On. And in that piece, you're utilizing a sense of R&B and gospel with little twists here and there interjected. A wonderful piece of music. Tell us about that.
You know, I probably would not have written that had it not been for the particular instrumentation, having Chris, having Ben, you know, having, you know, a drummer like Antonio. You know, it's like if I was going to do a trio date with Roy Haynes, I might not have brought that tune in.
Sure.
Or I would have thought about it. I didn't even think about it. It was like, yeah, okay, here's another one. Now we're going to do this one. Everybody's like, okay, we're going to do this one. I mean, it's just part of it.
Sure.
So, you know, it in the context of the whole record, it serves an interesting sort of narrative advancement of the plot too, because it really kind of offsets some of the other tracks too. It kind of almost makes you think about those in a different way,
yeah,
since that's also on the table and so forth. Yeah.
And soloing wise, you feature Chris Potter.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that it's a great listen, and it's a real artistic triumph.
I really
love the record.
I appreciate that.
And I so thank you for coming in and speaking to us.
It's been great to talk to you, Julian.
Pat Metheny, thank you so much. This is We Go On.
We go on from Pat Metheny and his Unity Band. The new album is called Kin and is released this week on the Nonesuch label. And many thanks to Pat and Julian. This is Jazz Line Up with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on digital radio. Staying with brand new releases, let's hear from Norwegian pianist Tord Gustafsson and his quartet and play a track from their sixth ECM release called Extended Circle, which, as Tord has said, explores the view of things not being linear. With Tor Brunberg on tenor sax, Mats Eilertsen on bass and Jarl Vesperstad on drums, Tord's at the piano with The Embrace.
Thank you.
from the new ECM release Extended Circle that was Tord Gustafsson Quartet with The Embrace. That CD incorporates tunes inspired by chorales and spirituals, which the group have gradually integrated into their repertoire. And you can see them play when they tour the UK in March with their first gig on the 7th of March at the Queen's Hall in Edinburgh. Well, now it's time for our concert set, which is the second half of a programme by pianist Carla Bley, with electric bass legend Steve Swallow and saxophonist Andy Shepherd. Now, they've been in partnership for almost 20 years as a trio. They were recorded at the world-famous Wigmore Hall in London as part of the 2013 London Jazz Festival, and Jazz Lineup were there to record this unique evening of music. All the compositions you're about to hear are by Carla Bley, and to start the concert off, let's hear a piece that was especially commissioned by the London Jazz Festival, and it's Naked Bridges, Diving Birds.
Was called Awful Coffee. Why not? We're going to proceed with a song that Carla wrote a few years ago for Johnny Cash, but he apparently never received it. He was a busy guy. It's called The Lord Is Listening to You. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Carla Bley on piano, Steve Swallow on electric bass, and Andy Shepherd on saxophones, recorded at the Wigmore Hall as part of the 2013 EFG London Jazz Festival. And for all the titles played on today's show, check out the playlist on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3 on FM, online, and on digital radio. Bristol plays host to some of the world's most exciting and innovative jazz and blues artists from the 7th to the 9th of March and features 40 individual concerts as well as late-night jam sessions and masterclasses with many of the headline performers. Andy Shepherd, who we just heard in fine form with Carla Bley, will be performing in an intimate duo setting with guitarist John Paricelli. That's on Friday the 7th, and they'll be at the Lantern at the rather unusual time of 5:50 p.m., And on the 8th, you can seriously get down to Pee Wee Ellis and Fred Wesley, who are jazz funk legends, and they're playing with their funk all-stars in the main hall at 9 p.m. And on Sunday the 10th, Jim Mullen and his organ trio will be playing an afternoon set at the Lantern, and at 6 p.m. in the main hall, you can hear this band, Get the Blessing. Recorded in an empty pottery in Pembrokeshire and out now on the Name record label. That was Corniche from the new album Lope and Antelope by Get the Blessing, who have said their new release is a combination of 4 days recording, 3 years of gigging and 12 years of drinking tea and gin. And you can hear Get the Blessing as they embark on their UK tour and play London, Liverpool, Birmingham, Bristol, Coventry, Sheffield and Clitheroe. If you'd like more information on the Bristol Jazz Festival, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup webpage. Another release on the Prolific Act label features two of Sweden's most famous jazz musicians in a duo setting, the most reduced form of music making together. And it's the trombonist Nils Landgren and his friend and collaborator for many years, the late Esbjorn Svensson, both elevating Swedish folk music to the level of subdued works of art. Well, let's hear a piece from the album Duo Art, and it's the track Song from the Valley.
Thank you.
the hauntingly beautiful Song from the Valley from the album Duo Art by Niels Landgren and Esbjørn Svendsen. And that recording is out on the ACT label. Well, that's almost the end of this week's show. Tonight on Geoffrey Smith's Jazz, you can hear trumpet legend Roy Eldridge. And on Jazz on 3 with Jazz Nelson at 11 on Monday, music from avant-funk troupe Medeski, Martin and Wood, recorded at Ronnie Scott's as part of the 2013 London Jazz Festival. On next week's Jazz lineup, concert music from Lithuanian band the Danaus Pulauskas Group and an interview with pianist Brad Meldow. To close the show today, something from bassist-composer Ben Crossland's chamber jazz trio Three Way, featuring Steve Lodder on keyboards, Steve Waterman on flugelhorn, and vibes master Jim Hart. Here's a track from the album Looking Forward, Looking Back, and it's Slow Train Home. Till next time, from me, Claire Martin, bye-bye.
was Slow Train Home, performed by Three Way with Vibes player Jim Hart. And it ends this week's Jazz Lineup. The programme was presented by Claire Martin and produced in Glasgow by Lindsay Pell and Shona Pugh. And for more information on Jazz Lineup, just go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website. And Jazz Lineup will be back next Saturday evening at the same time, 6 o'clock, here on BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 on FM, we're on digital radio, and we're live online in high-definition sound. 7:30 this Saturday evening, time now for tonight's Radio 3 Live in Concert. It's from Manchester, and it's introduced by Martin Handley.
Hello and welcome to the Bridgewater Hall. We're live in concert on BBC Radio 3 for the next instalment of the collaboration between this hall and Manchester's orchestras to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the birth of Richard Strauss, which they're calling Strauss's voice. The aspects of his unique sound they're focusing on are his tone poems and his orchestral songs. This evening we also have a performance of one of Shostakovich's finest symphonic achievements, his 10th symphony, written in the immediate aftermath of the death of Stalin, when at last Shostakovich felt he could again have his say. The BBC Philharmonic is the orchestra on stage tonight. They're joined by the distinguished German-born conductor Günter Herbig. As for the Strauss, the Danish soprano Inge Dam Jensen is the soloist in his wonderfully luxuriant settings of romantic poems by Clemens Brentano. And it's Strauss to begin. He was only 24 when he began work on his third tone poem, Tod und Verklärung, Death and Transfiguration. The previous two, Macbeth and Don Juan, had focused on fictional characters. We don't know why he decided to portray death and dying in this one, something of which, at this point in his life, he'd not had any close experience. Nonetheless, Strauss did have a very clear idea of what he wanted to describe, and he wrote in detail about a particular man's death, its approach and his exhaustion, and his struggle against it as he remembers his childhood and his youth. The man becomes resigned, overcoming his fear. His spirit is transfigured as it leaves his body. But what kind of man has this struggle? Well, Strauss said it was someone who had striven for the highest artistic goals, and that at the last there appears to him the fruit of his life's path, the conception, the ideal which he has thought to realize artistically, but which he's not been able to complete, since it's not for man to be able to accomplish such things. Well, Yuri Torchinsky, leader of the BBC Phil, is already in his place at the head of the orchestra. So now please welcome Günter Herbig to conduct Richard Strauss's tone poem, Tod und Verklärung, Death and Transfiguration.